Welcome to God Cares for You, a series of radio broadcasts featuring Pastor Rory Clark of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. Pastor Rory teaches the truth of the Word of God in a simple and understandable way that is easy to apply to your everyday life. Here's Pastor Rory Clark.
You know, God, the Holy Spirit put it on my heart that there is a life beyond right and wrong. And I didn't know what he meant. Well, recently it dawned on me what he meant. The life of ungodliness and unrighteousness we were born into from the moment of physical birth is a prison. In the prison cell is a pole extending from the left side of the cell to the right side of the cell. And we attach ourselves to the pole, and we slide from the left side of the pole to the right side of the pole. We vacillate between right and wrong. We obsess about our rightness. We dread our wrongness. For many of us, this is our lifestyle. We spend most of our waking moments defending our rightness and covering our wrongness. God the Holy Spirit sends a clear message to all of us through Paul's letter to the Romans that there is a lifestyle outside of this right-wrong prison. It's called freedom. Welcome to the program. Today's lesson is there is a life beyond right and wrong. There is the life beyond right and wrong. So we're studying the second passage in Paul's letter to the Romans, which extends from Romans chapter 1, verse 18, to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Many call this the consequences of sin section of the letter, and it certainly is, but I call it the best divine wake-up call ever written. The passage is an indictment of the whole human race. An indictment is a formal accusation that initiates a criminal case with blame being placed on someone for committing some crime. The crime committed by every member of the human race is sin. And we will learn when we get to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it's not just the human race, but the angelic race as well. Romans 3:23 says, all creatures have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, the first part of this indictment of the human race is Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to Romans chapter 1, verse 32. And in it, Paul is describing the lascivious lifestyle, which is one of Satan's two lifestyle offers. Now, we know Satan is the enemy of God. The lascivious lifestyle is the lifestyle of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Well, to give a clearer and perhaps more familiar description of this lifestyle, we can call the lascivious lifestyle the immoral lifestyle, where we engage in immorality. What is lasciviousness? It is a lifestyle inclined toward open indulgence in the lusts of the flesh. It is a lifestyle demonstrating an insatiable greed for and a relentless pursuit of sexual things, or the pursuit of any things that are obviously not part of God's plan for mankind. Now, many of these things are illegal. Put in simplest terms, it's a lifestyle of sin. And all of us have spent time in this lifestyle, either mentally or actually. The second part of the indictment begins in Romans chapter 2. The Lord Jesus Christ introduces and attacks Satan's other lifestyle offer, the legalistic lifestyle. What is legalism? Legalism is a smug attitude that is often intolerant of the opinions and behaviors of others. Legalism involves having or showing an exaggerated awareness of your own virtue. It's an engagement in self-love and self-flattery. It's the thought that you are better than others and that you are due a set of privileges because of it. The thought that God likes you because of something inherently good in you. Put in simplest terms, it's a lifestyle spent trying to follow the law. To give a clearer and perhaps more familiar description of this lifestyle, we can call the legalistic lifestyle the moral lifestyle, trying to live by a code of morality. The unfortunate thing for all of us is no matter how hard we have tried in our lifetimes, we haven't stopped sinning. And no matter how hard we have tried in our lifetimes, we haven't stopped breaking the law. In this indictment of the human race, which extends from Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to Romans chapter 3, verse 20, God is pointing out a simple fact. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all creatures have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yet we can be encouraged because God has provided us with the life, a lifestyle beyond right and wrong. So here's the first passage of study in Romans chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Romans 2, 1. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. Romans 2, 3. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things, and then you do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Romans 2, 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, Romans 2, 5, you are storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation. Romans 2:9. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. Romans 2:10. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 2:11. For there is no partiality with God. Satan, the enemy of God, is the source of these two lifestyle offers, the lascivious lifestyle and the legalistic lifestyle. The first lifestyle is the immoral, lascivious lifestyle. We can easily say that this is the wrong lifestyle. In fact, those who practice this lifestyle know they are not doing the right things. In that regard, they're delightful to be around because they aren't big phonies. The second lifestyle Satan offers is the moral, legalistic lifestyle. And we can easily say that this is what those who practice it consider to be the right lifestyle. Those who practice this lifestyle think they are wonderful people, and they often think they are certainly better than you. They are almost intolerable to be around because they are big phonies. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 27, the Lord Jesus Christ describes the legalistic lifestyle, indicting the Jewish scribes and Pharisees. Matthew 23:27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. These two lifestyles belong under one banner, religion, the lifestyle of right and wrong. I know that idea will ruffle your feathers if you're in a religion. It ruffled mine for the years that I was in a sin-based religion and for the years that I was in a law-based religion. Most of us, whether Christians or unbelievers, have found ourselves tangled up in one or both of these lifestyles. Yet I find it uncanny and downright amazing how much people today are repelled by religion. I can't tell you how many times I hear, "I'm not religious." Or a person looking at me when they find out that I'm a Christian with a sour look on their face saying, "Oh, I didn't know you were religious." Even on dating websites, one of the spiritual life options is, "I'm spiritual, not religious." It's hilarious. Well, what is religion? Religion is extreme conformity to a set of practices that provide the delusion that these practices can both earn righteousness and can earn the approval of God. They cannot. Yet Romans chapter 3, verse 23 is there again. All creatures have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For those who practice religion, their prison is an attempt to earn heaven and to avoid hell. Their prison is the lifestyle of right and wrong. Yet we can be encouraged because God has provided us with the life, a lifestyle beyond right and wrong. The right-wrong approach to life started as far back as the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 say this: The Lord commanded the man, saying, From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. A rule, a law, is introduced by God, and the criminality began. Sin. Adam and Eve broke the law. Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. When the woman saw that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. I've heard people say that they can't wait to meet Adam and Eve in heaven so that they can take them to task for breaking God's rule. Well, I'll tell you, if you had been in the Garden of Eden, or me, we would have done the exact same thing, only faster. Before sin, Adam and Eve were in a lifestyle of freedom. After sin, they were in a prison, the prison of the right-wrong life. They were hiding themselves because they knew they were wrong. Romans chapter 2 sends an indictment message to those running the legalistic lifestyle. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, you who practice the legalistic lifestyle have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment. For in that which you condemn another, like those practicing lasciviousness, you condemn yourself. For you who judge them practice the same things. Romans 2, 2. And we know that the judgment of God also rightly falls not only on those who practice lasciviousness, but also upon those who practice the legalistic lifestyle. Romans 2, 3. But do you suppose this, O men and women who practice the legalistic lifestyle, that when you pass judgment on those who practice lasciviousness and then do the same lascivious things yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? To those who choose the moral legalistic lifestyle, practice the immorality of lasciviousness as well. They just do it in the closet and out of the sight of people. But they are not out of the sight of an omnipresent God who is everywhere at the same time, and an omniscient God who knows all that is knowable. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you who practice the legalistic lifestyle think lightly of the riches of God the Father's kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God the Father is what leads you to repentance, which is a change of mind about Christ? The Bible says there is the life beyond the right and wrong lifestyle. And here's how the Bible puts it. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief, a reference to Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy with his two lifestyle offers. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, came that believers in Christ may have the life, the resurrection life, the eternal life, and have it abundantly. John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection from the dead, and I am the life, the resurrection life, the eternal life. The resurrection life is the life beyond right and wrong, a lifestyle of freedom. Are you living it? Or are you trapped, either in a moral, legalistic mentality, thinking that you are better than others, or in an immoral, lascivious mentality that has you circuiting a prison cell like a rat in a maze, thinking that you're horrible Are you imprisoned in the right, wrong life? Because God loves you unconditionally, whether you are moral or immoral. See, the life beyond the right and wrong lifestyle is a lifestyle of grace. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has to offer. What is grace? Grace is a free gift given to all mankind by the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a divine thought that underlies the Creator's entire viewpoint of unconditional love for His creatures. And un means un, no conditions. And grace is expressed by God's actions of extending mercy, extending loving kindness, providing salvation, and giving divine assets to His creatures. It's a dimension of divine thought in which God meets human indifference and human rebellion toward Him with an inexhaustible capacity to forgive and to bless. Wow. Grace. That's what the guy meant. Amazing. Grace. Well, here's Barat Ministry song worship leader June Murphy to sing a song she wrote that explains how God looks at His creatures. The song is called, I Am Beautiful. Reminded of the story of the wind and the sun. The wind and the sun were disputing which was stronger. Suddenly they saw a traveler coming down the road, and the sun said to the wind, "I see a way to decide our dispute. Whichever of us can cause that traveler to take off his coat shall be regarded as the stronger. You begin, Mr. Wind." So the sun retired behind a cloud, and the wind began to blow as hard as it could upon the traveler. But the harder the wind blew and the more closely did the traveler wrap his coat around himself, until at last the wind had to give up in despair. Then the sun came out and shone in all its glory upon the traveler, who soon found it too hot to walk with his coat on. So he took it off. The sun was stronger than the wind. So it is with God. Warmth and kindness from God the Son is much better in lifestyle than harshness and severity. There is the life beyond right and wrong. Aren't you tired of trying to live a lifestyle that is impossible for you to live, the lifestyle of sin and the law? Are you just a bit curious about the lifestyle God has to offer? It's called the resurrection life, eternal life, and it's a free gift from a gracious God. Well, a final story about the lifestyle God has to offer. A learned Christian approached a new believer after church one day and asked him for a testimony concerning how the new believer had come to be saved. The new believer said, "It was easy. I did my job, and God did his job." The learned Christian was curious, since there are no works necessary to get to heaven. "What do you mean you did your job?" the learned Christian asked. "I thought being saved required no effort on our part." Well, the new believer said, "I have a different opinion. It was my job to be lost, and it was God's job to find me. I did my job, and God did his job." The gospel message in Paul's letter to the Romans is God's gift to those who are lost. Being lost is good news according to the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, who says in Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 6, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 sheep not lost in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'" Those who are lost are unbelievers, those who have not decided to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Unbelievers do not seek God. God seeks them. So, if you want a life beyond the right and wrong life, you can have this life right where you sit right now. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes." John 14:6 says, "Jesus said to doubting Thomas, 'I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me.'" In John chapter 3, verse 36, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life," the resurrection life, "but he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the resurrection life, but the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him." The sovereign God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't want any of his creatures in the lake of fire. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, that is, as some accuse him of, but is patient towards you unbelievers," all those who are lost, "not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to a change of mind about Christ." Well, right now, in one simple decision, you can ask God the Father for eternal life by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the moment of eternal life for you, the life beyond right and wrong, and you cannot lose it. John chapter 10, verse 28 says, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand.
You've been listening to Pastor Rory Clark of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church in Mesa, Arizona. Pastor Rory teaches face-to-face lessons twice a week. For more information, especially on meeting locations, go to the Barah Ministries website at barahministries.com. That's B-A-R-A-H ministries.com. The God Cares For You radio broadcast can be heard every Sunday from 12 to 12:30 right here on KXDG 1280 on your AM radio dial.